Simon Reish Samach Gimel. I just want to make two corrections from last time. When we learned Simon Reish Samach Aleph, we learned about Dinim of Bein HaShmashos. And I said one thing that was incorrect. I said that, well, since today, when Mekabel Shabbos, the Tzibur is Mekabel Shabbos, so Mela the Kulas don't apply. But it was pointed out to me that most communities, they daven Mincha till Shkia, and then they start Mekabel Shabbos. And I'm Mekabel Shabbos until Mizbor Shir, until, you know, 15 minutes later. So the potential kulas of, let's say, Mel Akum would apply at that point. Meaning, even though the Tzibur, unless the individual is Mekabel Shabbos on himself. So really, the Kabbalah of Tzibur wouldn't apply. That was one correction. And the second correction, the Mechavers gave the example of being Maaser, taking off Chivas Maaseres from Demai, from a Suffolk. And I wondered, why isn't there a heter of being Maaser Vadai? So it turns out that many Achronim say that it's mutter even to Maaser Vadai. Even if it's Vadai, if you need that food for Shabbos, we do allow you to take off Trumas and Maasers. I had a whole Lomdus, which I found after Rav Schechter says, I probably saw it there, that's why I was thinking of it, that Rav Schechter says that maybe during Menesh Maasers we'll allow Shvusim, we won't allow Malachos or Morchomor. But that's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is Benesh Mashos, we allow even Melacha de Rabbanan, provided that it's Litzach Shabbos or Nechpa, it's necessary. So those are just two tikkunim. Let's continue here in Simon Reish Samich Gimel, the dinim of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. We know that on Erev Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to light Shabbos candles. It's unclear exactly when this takana began. It seems like it's a very ancient takana. The Pashas is Din Drabanan. Some say that it's a very, very ancient, even in the time of Moshe, they lit candles. Again, it's hard to know exactly when it started, but there's a debate in the Gemara. The Gemara says it's a chova. It's an obligation. It's in contrast to bathing in Erev Shabbos, which is a mitzvah, it's a nice thing to do, it's an important thing to do, but it's not an absolute obligation. There's an obligation to have candles. You have to understand that in a world before electricity, if you didn't have candles, you ate in the dark. So it makes a lot of sense that there's a very pressing need. It's not comfortable to eat in the dark. And there's a machlokas in the Rishonim, is it midin oneg Shabbos? That's just not enjoyable to eat in the dark. Or is it midin kavod Shabbos? That it's somehow a way to respect Shabbos, you light candles, show of respect. Today, with electric light, it's hard to really understand the oneg, because you're not going to be in the dark either way. But alt kavod, there's something about having a candle-lit dinner. It's a certain kavod that comes with lighting candles. And maybe even some oneg. I don't know, some people might feel more oneg to have a candle-lit dinner. Certainly alt kavod. The Gemara also seems to indicate there's an issue of shalom bayis, that if you don't have light in your home, you're going to fall over your chair and over your table, and you're not going to have shalom bayis. You're going to start arguing with people. It won't be pleasant. So these are three factors here. Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, shalom bayis. They might all be true lahalacha, meaning the obvious nafkamina would be, let's say, having light in a place where you're not eating. You're going to eat in one place, you're going to sleep somewhere else. So al oneg, you're not eating there. But al shalom bayis, you know, maybe al kavod, you would need light there as well. So we try to have light in all places where we're going to be on Friday night. But since we have electric lights, we're only makbid to light candles where we eat. In the bedroom, we just make sure that there's light in the hallway. You're not going to fall over your bed.
So in a case where you're sleeping somewhere and eating somewhere.
Oh, where's your light? So we're going to talk about that a little later. But that would be totally on this. That if the ikr is the oneg, so it would be better to light where you eat. The thing is, often where you eat, there are other people lighting, you know. You're going to a family simcha, so everybody's staying at a different home, and you're all eating the shul. So you can have 50 candles in the shul. So what's going to be where you're sleeping? So it could be that the cheshbon might be that ideally where you eat. But if there are anyway candles there, so then you're not really adding so much. So then maybe you should light where you sleep. So we'll get to the details soon. Mentioned in the past that the Gra and the Priskrav assume that Kavod is experienced before Shabbos by preparing for Shabbos, and Oneg is on Shabbos. It's not so clear in the Makaros that way, but that's what the Gra says. And the Priskrav is back on the Rambam also. The Rambam writes, in two places, once that lighting candles is covered Shabbos, and once that it's Oneg Shabbos. How can it be both covered and Oneg? Says Miskarav, it's Pasha. When you light the candle before Shabbos, you show Shabbos is important. That's covered Shabbos. And then when you eat to the candlelight on Shabbos, you experience the Oneg of Shabbos. Okay, so let's begin in the Mechaber. Yehei Zayir La'asos Ner Yofeh. You should have a nice candle. Now, Ner in Chazal, Pashas doesn't refer to the candle, it refers to the kli that the candle's in, the nice candelabra. But Lechora, it's for both is true. You should have a nice candelabra, and you should have a nice candle as well. In terms of the candles, the Mechaber has a lashon of Ner. Right? Ner Yofeh, that's lashon of the Gemara. So Mikra Din Yotzi with one Ner. But the Mechaber writes, V'yeish mechami lasa shtei psilios. Echa keneged zachar, echa keneged shomer. The Rishonim bring that the minhag is to have two candles, one keneged shomer, one keneged zachar. That's an established minhag. And then there are many who have the minhag to have more. Some people have minhag based on the amount of children in the home. Every child they add another candle. They're different minhagim. Some have minhag of seven, minhag of ten, different, yes.
That, like, it's a thing that when someone forgets to light, they...
Yeah, we'll get to that soon, if you forget to light. But fundamentally, you're really with one. Often, the accepted poskim will say that a woman should follow her mother's practice. So if, you know, your wife lights, her mother lights the two candles, regardless of how many people in the family. And your family, for every child, they added a candle. So you get married. So what do you do? You know, the Dioma, right? So many folks can say, let the woman follow her mother's minhag. Okay, that makes sense. It's all about shalom bayis. One of the svaras here is shalom bayis. So wouldn't it be so shalom bayis to be kofa on her, you know, your minhag? Okay, fine. I don't think she has to. She doesn't want to, maybe, but certainly she should feel she should be able to. Fine. Right now. So he says the Rama, "V'yicholim hosif hadlik sholosh or arba neros v'chein hagul." Now, the terms of Josh's hara, ha'isha sheshachav hamachas hadlik v'ndekas kol yameh sholosh neros. The woman forgot. There's a knas. The Rama brings down this knas. What's the purpose of the knas? The knas is that the woman was negligent in kavod Shabbos. So we have to. She has to be more makvid. She was negligent in onik Shabbos. She has to be more makvid to add to it. There's a big discussion in the scope of this knas. The Rama writes, "Ki yicholim lahosif al davar hamachuvah neged davar acher uvad shelo yifchos." So there's no problem adding, but she should add in this case. Like I said, there's a big question about the scope. You know, if a woman is nanas, so she's onos. Yeah. Once it happened to me, we were traveling. Like I spoke once in the past, we were supposed to get my in-laws home. The subway got stuck for half an hour in the subway. We got there, mamish, like in the nick of time. I wasn't sure if it was a minute before Shkia, a minute after Shkia. So I told my wife, don't light the candles. You know, you don't want to, if it's almost Shkia, don't take a chance. So, Chara, in that case, you don't think there's no knas because we were onus. I was wondering, what would be if I would leave really late? We left on time. Let's say I would leave, you know, not enough time to get for Shabbos. And is that like Karov the Mazid? You know, Karov the. I don't know. I think the minig is to be makel with this knas. We try not to. You know, so for example, let's say a woman forgot the light, but she was staying by her mother. So the minhag is that mikra din, if you're staying at your parents, they're lighting. It's only somebody has, one person has to light. It's not, women don't like giving up the mitzvahs. They want to light also. But mikra din, it's not necessary. So in that case, if a woman forgot the light, but her mother lit there for the whole family. So lechora, you wouldn't need a knas in that case. You wouldn't apply the knas. There's a discussion. Even if, let's say, a woman usually lights five candles and she only lights four. There's a discussion in the Achronim, should you put a knas in that case? I think the minhag is not to. The minhag is to assume we're making with this knas. It's funny, I mentioned before that there's a minhag that whenever a new child is born in the family, you add a little candle. So some folks even try to explain that's because she probably didn't light that week because she was busy, so she forgot, so the minhag developed. So I don't know if that's how it developed. L'maisa, today, if a woman is in childbirth, so she's potter, she's, you know, she's not going to, there's no knas. And if she's not in childbirth, usually they do light. It seems it was a minhag that the husband would light the week after childbirth. There's such a minhag that in order to, the woman had a hard time. So I don't know how all these things fit together, but lemaisa, there is such a knas. It's not something we. It's not so common. that a woman forgets to light. Usually she can't light. She's stuck. There's an onus. And then we don't apply the knas. But fundamentally, it's on the books that there is a knas for a woman who forgot to light, that she should light another candle from here on in. It's also amazing to see the poskim talk about, you know, they were so poor. Like, oh, try to make hill. We don't want to constant her because it's like a hefset. Like, you know, as if another candle like makes a difference to anybody. And in our world, it's like really nobody thinks about it. Even poor people, a candle is not, you know, significant. But Baruch Hashem. But once upon a time, that was part of the cheshbon. Either way, the minhag I think is to make hill with this knas, not to apply it unless it's very clear that it should be applied. The Seder. Weiter. Beis. Echad anashim, echad anashim, chayavim lios v'vateim ner dalek v'shabbos. The minhag is not only for women. Fundamentally, the chiyuv is not only for women, it's also for men. Afilo ein lo mayochal shoa al psachim v'lokeach shem v'madlik ner sh'devichal oneg shabbos. Even if you don't have what to eat, you have to go collect staka. Again, it's a different world. People didn't have what to eat. They had to go collect staka to buy a candle. Obviously, today, there's electric light, so you don't have to go collect staka to buy a candle, and most people can afford a candle either way. There's a big question where this comes from. The Rambam writes this to bring this in. You know, is it some type of kavachomer from Kiddush Hayom or from Ner Chanukah? Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbos is Kodem. Right? Ner Shabbos is Kodem. And by Ner Chanukah, there's this thing, they have to sell your shirts to buy Ner Chanukah, so maybe it's Kal V'chomer. It's a strange halacha, but it's also interesting that the Rambam says, Shebechlal Oneg Shabbos. He didn't say Shalom Bayis. It would be interesting if he said Shalom Bayis. Anyway, Lema'isa, the halacha is not so relevant, Baruch Hashem. Gimel. Nashi Muzaras al Bo Yosef. Even though the chiyuv is on everybody, the minhag is that women are more involved in the mitzvah of hadlakas neros. In fact, the women have the right. The man can't say, "I want to light." It's her right. If they should mitzvahs v'bayis, they're in the home. Oskum b'sochei bayis, they're usually involved in the upkeep of the home. It's part of the home. Rashi. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, the Mishnah, that the nashim are punished b'shas leida for being negligent to halakas aner. Rashi says that women caused Adam to sin, and therefore they need like a tikkun. This is like a tikkun for that sin. The Rambam says what the Shulchan Aruch brings down here that the women are in around the home. Either way. The men want to have a chelik in the mitzvah. How does a man have a chelik in the mitzvah? The minhag is the man sets up the candles. Once upon a time, the minhag was also the man would like light them and blow them out. And that's because if you're lighting with like real wicks, sometimes it's hard to catch. So if you light it, it's like the Hanukkah, you probably noticed that if you light the wick from yesterday, it's a little easier because it's already saturated with oil, it's already started to burn. So the minhag was. My father used to do this. He'd light the candles and then blow them out. Today, it's hard to mechayev anybody do that because with wax candles or even with wicks, so even if you light it with oil, usually like it doesn't really make a difference. It would make sense that the husband should put the wicks in the oil like you know a few hours before to make them saturated. But the lighting itself doesn't really make it. Certainly, if you light it with wax. If anything, it makes it worse, because usually the wax candles, the wicks are like covered with wax, it makes it easier to light. So if you lit it once and blow it out, it's harder to light. So I think the minhag is that the husband sets up the candles, and that old European minhag of blowing the candles out, lighting them, blowing the candles out, you know, if that's your minhag, you continue, you're allowed to continue. It's not an usher to do, but it's not something that we take on. Like I said, my father used to do that, but I don't, because...
That was the wax candle?
With wax, yeah. I mean, it could be started by his family. So, Mistama, maybe at one point they were lighting with oil. With oil, it makes more sense a little bit. But even today, with oil, I'm not sure how much. I think the main issue is making sure that the wick is saturated with oil, as opposed to just being put in a minute before. Okay.
Let's say when the person has to start setting up for this or anything.
You can do it already in the morning. We saw previously; it's always good to do things early in the morning. Cover Shabbos. Now the Mechaber continues. Im ein yadam asegas liklas ner the Shabbos or kiddush hayom ner Shabbos kodim. Again, the Baruch Hashem, we don't live in a time where this is very relevant. But a person is so poor, can't afford wine for kiddush, so ner Shabbos is kodim. He can make kiddush on the bread. V'chenim ein yadam asegas liklas ner the Shabbos or ner the Chanukah ner Shabbos kodim yishum shalom bayis. That if, once upon a time they would light the Chanukah candles. Even today, if you light Chanukah candles outside, so you light the Chanukah candles outside, inside it's going to be dark. If you light the Chanukah candles inside, so some folks are going to say this halacha doesn't apply. They light the same Chanukah. You're not supposed to use the candles. Okay, you're not going to count, you know, money. You're not going to. You can have your meal. It's not. It's a tashmish kal. That might be mutter. Then it could be zanazeh. If you only had enough money for one candle, you can light inside the same Chanukah, and this halacha wouldn't apply because we light inside, and some people light inside. Fine. Anyway, the ein shalom bayis v'lo ner v'im ein yadam v'segis lichnas yayin v'kiddush lichnas ner Chanukah ayin l'kama. Okay. For the Seder. Lo yaktiv l'mayer l'hadlikov odiyom gadol. So in terms of setting it up, you can set them up early. But if you want to light them early, you shouldn't light them too early. What's wrong with lighting the candles too early? The whole purpose is that you light the candles the same Kavod Shabbos. So Shabbos is coming, you light them right before Shabbos starts. Half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it is. If you light an hour and a half before Shabbos starts, it's not nikkur that it's a Kavod Shabbos. You shouldn't do it too late. Why shouldn't you do it too late? You're going to run into Shkia. So you have to do it at the right time. Some women are very careful to do exactly on what it says in the calendar. It's not Akev. Do a little bit past that, but you shouldn't run into Shkia. You shouldn't run into Shkia, Chas v'Shalom. Women very much connect to the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner, which is beautiful. But Akadei Kach, some women will be willing to light the Suffolk Shkia. That's wrong. You know, there are people who light candles, you know, and 7 o'clock, Shabbos starts at 4 o'clock, and they have a Friday night dinner, they light candles, you know, not from Orthodox circles. So it's beautiful that they want to have a Shabbos. It's just, it's not the right thing to do. It's better not to light candles, you know. The Seder.
Is the absolute latest time, which, aren't there two Shkias? Like, there's one that's like a few minutes later?
Yeah, here in Yerushalayim, there's Shkia Hanira and there's Shkia Lefi Mishor.
Right.
So, in America, most people are sea level. The East Coast is sea level. So, no nafkamina. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. Within 5 minutes of Shkia, in Yerushalayim is, I think it's like 3-4 minutes before the Shkia, and most Luchs in Yerushalayim are Lefi Hanira. The Mishra is a few minutes earlier, so 5 minutes, whatever it
is. So is that like the absolute latest number?
If you're choshish for that, some people aren't choshish for Mishra, you know, the minig Yerushalayim is not to be choshish for. Here in Grus, because people come from America and they put it on the Luach, I think it was Yomo's Chiddush. Until then, nobody realized that there was another Shkia. Whatever it says in the Luach is Lefi Hanira. But even then, there's a difference of Sefer Shabbos of 2-3 minutes. So say 2 minutes. So your watch isn't always Mechuban Legamre. So I would think that it makes sense to at least 5 minutes before what it says in the Luach, you should be careful to light, because you need a minute or two of Tosefes, and it takes a minute or two to light, you know. So your watch isn't Mechuban Legamre. Ideally, you try to do it within 10 minutes. I'm saying, again, if a woman aims for 40 minutes, so if she gets within 10, she's a half an hour leeway. You know, it's like, but even within 35, after 5 minutes to Shkia, it's very, you're already, you know, it's already. Okay. It's brought down in the Mechaber. So you want to make early Shabbos, you could make light an hour earlier, because you're making it Shabbos. That's mutter. It's just, you shouldn't light the candle shem kavod Shabbos and then not be mekabel Shabbos. We're going to see soon that the minhag is for women are always mekabel Shabbos and they light. But fundamentally, you can light candles shem Shabbos and not be mekabel Shabbos. Like a tanai. You don't want to mekabel Shabbos. Then it's very odd, because you're going to light an hour and a quarter before Shkia, like an early Shabbos, but then do Malach for an hour and a quarter, it's wrong. You shouldn't do that, because it has to be that you're lighting L'Shem Kavod Shabbos. It has to be Nikar from the Hadlaka. L'Shem Kavod Shabbos. And the comments of Rishon HaSayin, I think we spoke last time about, what is it, just an hour and a quarter? What if it was 2 hours? The Ramah earlier sounds like even 2 hours. So we're choshesh. I think I mentioned that once it happened to me, that my wife, we were making early Shabbos, my wife lit candles before that she came to me, with me to Mincha, and she realized she lit before Plaga Mincha. So is that meaningless? Or should we say the Chumrah, she should be not do Malacha, because maybe it really couldn't be Kabbalah even 2 hours before. In any case, you know how you ner daluk before od yom yichabenu yachsu yitkenu tzarek Shabbos. If the candle is already lit, you should extinguish it and relight it, because the whole point, we didn't cover Shabbos, has to be nicker that you're lighting. If you didn't onik Shabbos, it's not necessary. But if you didn't cover Shabbos, you want it to be nicker, you're lighting l'shem cover Shabbos. Questions, comments? Okay. If you're running late and your wife doesn't want to light, so strictly speaking, you can light. Again, I have to make sure that she doesn't get upset. Yeah, you try to encourage her to do it. I say, listen, honey, she has in 7 minutes. If you're not going to light now, I'm going to have to light. If you say it nicely, hopefully she won't be too upset. But you shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, get in a situation where you don't light, or you light after Shkia Chas V'Shalom. Okay. You know, not everything has to be perfect. A woman can light in her weekday clothes and then get changed after. It's not, you know, okay. But ideally, it's better to be ready for Shabbos when you light. But okay. Fine. If finished rashi already came, so it's brought down that you can have a goy light for you. The Shulchan Harav even says you can say the bracha, which is a big chiddush, because the goy, there's no shlichus by goyim, but people want to have Ner Shabbos. Even though we have electric lights today, people want to have Ner Shabbos. So I would think that even though there's electric lights, still you'll have to ask a goy to light Shabbos candles, because you want to have Shabbos candles.
On Shabbos?
Even on Shabbos, I would think, yeah.
Isn't that you're creating Hanah? So you can't do it
Hanah. Well, you have electric lights anyway. So you're having a goy light. Right, you're saying one of shach. I think he's talking about ben hashmashos. You're saying when it was on Shabbos mamish. Maybe on Shabbos not. I think on Shabbos, yeah, it probably makes sense. I have to look it up. I think on Shabbos not. So you're probably right. Okay. This idea that you have to mechaber the ner and then light it l'shem kavod Shabbos, it touches on a different issue that's relevant today, because we have electric light. So a woman comes to light, but there's a lot of light. So some posts recommend that she should turn off the lights and then turn them on l'shem kavod Shabbos and then light, and have in mind when she lights the candles, it's also chal on the electricity. We'll see later that there's a tzad to say that you can say a bracha on electricity. Even though some poskim are not so into it, but the Ikra Din seems like you can say a bracha on electricity. So here, the question is, like, what's the point of lighting candles anymore if we have electricity? So either we should say a bracha on electricity and not light, but nobody wants to give up lighting, and lighting adds a certain aura, you know, the candlelight. So, but the idea of integrating that to the mechabit, the neros, the electric lights, and then light the l'shem kavod Shabbos, and then integrate the hadlaka with the electric lights, is something that's a nice thing to do. Not everybody can do it, depending on where you are. If you're in a hotel, you can't do it. But if you're at home, so then the mother, again, sometimes newer people light. It can't work for everybody, but the mother, the head of the household, the mother can light and incorporate the electric lights into into the hadlaka. And that would be like the Rama says, had ner daluk, right? So we can chabe the electric lights and then relight them. L'shem kavod Shabbos. There is a question in a hotel, you know. They don't often even let you light in the Cheder Ochel. They'll tell you to light. So light in the room, they're for sure not going to let you. And light, so it's either where you sleep or where you eat. They often want you to light in the lobby. So what's the point of lighting in the lobby? So some people are very upset about this, and they say that's a Brachel Batala. The Minhag Olam is to light in the lobby. The assumption is that within kavod Shabbos, you don't have oneg because you're not eating there. But in terms of kavod, lighting a candle shows a certain chashivus. I think that's the minhag olam, and I think the yesh olam alismach. Somebody told me he was at a hotel in Chutz Laretz, in Florida, I think. So the hanhala of the hotel was very, very nervous about, they didn't have so many Jews there so often, so they weren't familiar with this. They were like, it's against the fire code. If you want a light, light outside. So it was like the Chanukah. They put up a table outside, and there was, I guess, not wasn't so much wind, so there was light outside. So I wasn't sure what to do. So he told me that there was a chashev rav there, and he said to him, it's kavod Shabbos, even the light outside. So I don't know. Right, so the other option is to light the light in the room and say a bracha, inachanami. But women don't like that. Women want to light the real deal. So yeah, when I was at a hotel with my wife, I told her to light in the room with a bracha on the electric light, and she didn't want to. She wanted to light downstairs with the candles. So light upstairs is against the rules. It's dangerous. You don't want to chas v'shalom.
There's nothing that's adaf, meaning to do it in the room where your mom
should be. So what I told her to do is that light the candle upstairs, the candle. Turn on the light in the bathroom, l'shem kavod Shabbos, and don't be mafzik. Go downstairs and light, and have in mind both. Like just like we're at home.
And say the bracha.
And say the bracha downstairs. So again, it's a tziruf. At home, it's easier to say that because at home you're lighting, you know, on your dining room table or whatever you're lighting. So it's more pashut. So if it's tziruf for the electricity, that's a chumrah. Here, I was choshesh that maybe lighting downstairs is not good at all. Now it's true we usually it's a bit of a hefsek of walking, but anyway, we'll see later that we generally light Ashkenazi women and most Sephardi women light after they say bracha after they light. So it's not like it's not such a big deal. So you'll light upstairs. You'll say the bracha downstairs when you. We're going to get to that, yeah. So that I think is ideal. This only works on Erev Shabbos in a hotel. If you're there for Yontif, there's Yontif Sheni, so then you're stuck. You can't light. The only place to light is downstairs. So there are some poskim would say, don't light. You're making a havara shlo tzarech. You know. But Lamaisa, women want to light. What are you going to do? So there are poskim would say that it's mutter because it's covered Shabbos. So yes,
so it's like what happened in the Wadi Dorm. So if you're,
what happened?
They always tell people in Wadi
Dorm. Chanukah, they don't let them, and somebody lit, and there was a fire.
I don't know
what happened. It happens. Their yeshivas are burnt down because of this. It's very, very dangerous to let Bacharim light. So what happened?
What happened was the students were supposed to total light in the in the lobby.
Okay.
But it wasn't where they ate or where they were sleeping. Uh-huh. And the Talmud of Rosh Hashter asked Rosh Hashter what he should do.
Uh-huh.
And Rosh Hashter said, go sleep in your house for the weekend.
Wow. That's for Chanukah. But I don't know if he would say would he say that about Shabbos too?
I don't know.
I mean, in Shabbos, I think they do light in the calf in the yeshiva, don't they?
I know the Talmud of Rosh Hashter told him it's better for Chanukah.
Okay, for Chanukah might be different. Interesting. The Seder. Okay. Moving on, Sif Hey, Kishe Yadlik Yivarech Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Kishon Yisuf Yivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. So you say a bracha, like any mitzvah drabanan. You say a bracha. Echad ish ve'echad ish. Gam v'yom tov tzach levarach Lahadlik Ner Shel Yontov. There's a special bracha on Yontov. You say Lahadlik Ner Shel Yontov. V'yom Kippurim v'lo Shabbos ish v'she Omer Shel Yivarech. There's a debate if you say a bracha on Yom Kippur. Our minhag is to say a bracha on Yom Kippur. I don't know if the Sfardim say bracha Yom Kippur. I'm not sure if they say bracha Yom Kippur, but it's a separate cheshbon in Siman Tav Reishu. Some say slicha kodem hadlaka. Some say that you say the bracha before the hadlaka, like every mitzvah. They're not passing this way. Every mitzvah you say over le'asiyasim. You say the bracha before you to perform the mitzvah. So you say had neshal Shabbos, then you light. But some say you say bracha after the hadlaka, and that's the accepted Ashkenazi minhag. And many Sephardim also light after the hadlaka. Why is that? Because there is an opinion of the Bahag that when you light, you're mekavel Shabbos. The lighting itself is a kavel Shabbos, and they understand it's not just the lighting, but the bracha is mekavel Shabbos. So if I say Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, so then I was ready to call the Shabbos. I can't light. So that's the Shita of the Bahag. And even though it's not the mainstream Shita, the Bahag was one of the Ga'onim, but at a deference to the Bahag, the minhag of women It's the light after, the light before the bracha. That's the minhag of woman. If man lights, sometimes a man is single or a man, whatever, is away. So the minhag, if the accepted practice for man is to say the bracha first, because that's the ikr l'halacha. You say over l'asiyasa. It's just that women have the practice of being kosher for the bahag.
Wait, say again, why? Because
the concern is that when you say the bracha, you're makal shavas, and therefore you can't light after the bracha. So what do? You light. You don't look at the candles. You cover the candles. And then you say the bracha, and then you uncover the candles. Now that was good when there was one candle. You put your hand on the candle. Today women are lighting lots of candles. So how do you cover the candles? You go like this. So then it turns into a whole, you know, spiritual experience. You wave your hands, and this and that. But the whole point of waving your hands is like you cover your eyes, really. You don't want to see the candles. You want to somehow make it into a over l'siyasa experience. And that's what the Ramah says here. Over l'siyasa, just one second. Lo yehana mimeno achar habracha. We see in a yad lifnei haner. You put the candle on the fire in front of it, or in our case, on your eyes. Achar adlakum avarchim. Achar mesalkin yad v'zeh mikri over l'siyasa v'chein hamina. Question?
Yeah, I was saying, so the whole reason why you're going to be moving your head, the woman will move her head around, because you don't see the whole thing at once.
You don't see you don't want to see the candles. So it really should cover her eyes, but that's, you know, right. Like this. And,
okay, so you light all 20 candles, and then before you light the last one, you start covering it up?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. Something like that.
Well, why should there be a chilek between men and women, meaning if we're concerned about the bahag?
So that's a good question. Why should there be a chilek between men and women? I think women are their mitzvah, so they took an extra chumrah in this regard. The ikra mitzvah is chal on women, if there's a woman in the home. A man can't say he wants the light, it's a woman's right. So they took this chumrah on themselves. Men didn't accept this chumrah on themselves, so men don't need to do this. I mean, not everyone agrees with this. Shulchan Aruch Rav assumes that a man should say the bracha after he lights like a woman. But others argue. I should mention, in terms of Yontif, when do you say the bracha on Yontif? So again, according to the Ashkenazim, follow the Ramah, second opinion, the women say the bracha after they light. Is that true also on Yontif? What's the whole concern of the Bahag? You're Mekabel Shabbos. Okay, Mekabel Shabbos can't light. If you're Mekabel Yontif, you're allowed to light? You're allowed to do Havara on Shabbos. On Yontif, right? So that's why the Drisha wrote a parish on the tour. And in the Hakdama to Yoradea, which was written by the Drisha's son, he quotes that his mother, which is the wife of the Drisha, people often misquote it. They don't realize they think it's Hakdama of the Drisha. It's Hakdama of the son of the Drisha. So they think that Drisha's mother was a great scholar. It was Drisha's wife. Maybe his mother was also a scholar. I don't know. So Drisha's wife was a great Talmidah Chachamah. And she held that on Yontif, you should say the bracha first. Because the whole Sefer doesn't apply. I don't know. Maybe some women have that practice. Many don't. Maybe just do what they do on Shabbos. They light the same way. There's another halacha there that on Yontif, you should light candles before Shkia. Some women had the practice in Zan Yontif, you do Avara, they would light on Yontif itself. So she pointed out that it's appropriate to light before, just like on Shabbos, you light before, because Kavod Yontif is that before Yontif begins, you already have the candles there. You can't always, if Yontif is Moshe Shabbos, you can't light on Shabbos, you light, but if you can, anyway, that's an interesting hara of the wife of the Trish. Okay. Let's move on. We'll begin discussing where you light. It's a bit of complicated. Question?
Yeah, if the woman so if she says the bracha and then lights, it's not even a problem. Maybe it was only a chumra. There's nothing wrong about lighting the same bracha first and then lighting.
If a woman did it by mistake.
Yeah.
So the question is, if her practice is always to say the bracha after, so then it shows that she holds like the.
So
then she was Mekabel Shabbos. So then her husband should light the candles, Lechora. I would think. You're saying maybe she had bracha batala. You're saying
no. What's somebody doing in that scenario? My wife not my, somebody's wife.
Somebody's wife.
Makes a bracha.
Right. So
he didn't light yet. She goes, oh, I quickly find my husband so that he lights it.
Right. So I don't know if it even helps because she said the bracha, so she should do the mitzvah. So l'chora, are we choshesh b'di'ever? Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I have to look it up, but I would think that b'di'ever. There is a big discussion, by the way, about the match. Should she, like, can a woman extinguish the match? Some people have a practice, not only to take the bracha after they light, but they don't even extinguish the match. They let the match fall because they're worried that lighting itself was the kalal shot.
Letting it fall?
You drop the match onto the
yeah,
counter.
Yeah, concerned about the light, so then we should also be concerned about extinguishing.
No, well, that's the bracha or the siyasin. It's
right.
Not necessarily the same.
Right, right.
But this is my wife's practice. My wife is from her mother, that she drops the candle, the match. So you have to, in our home, we have like a place for it to drop it. If you're somewhere else, you don't want to like make a fire or like damage other people's things. But she not only does she light before she has the bracha, after she lit the last candle, she doesn't extinguish the match. That's a practice that some women have. You have to mechaven the practice. You asked a very good question, what's the din if a woman made a mistake? Would we tell her, here's a bracha levatala issue. So we should tell her light, it's only a chumrah. Right, since the minag is, then it shows it that she's Megali Milsa, that her bracha is Kavala Shabbos. What's Kavala Shabbos? Bracha levatala, what can you do? But you shouldn't Mechala Shabbos now.
Right.
Again, it's not Chala Shabbos Deraisa, but it's Chala Shabbos Derabbanan. Meaning,
right.
And that would be Sheva Al Tasa Adif. I'm really not sure. I have to look it up. Okay. More questions, comments?
Yeah, because in that case, though, the husband wouldn't be able to light it. I mean, at least for me, I'm never around when my light.
Right, but let's say you are around. What would the din be? Because there's a chala question
there.
When one person says a bracha, like if a shaliach. Yeah, so does the shaliach say a bracha, or does the mishaliach say a bracha? So that's an interesting question here too. Usually the shaliach says the bracha. So here, if she says the bracha, it's weird for you to be her shaliach because, you know, usually the shaliach will say the bracha. There is a day that the mishaliach says the bracha, so maybe if you're there, you can save the situation by lighting for her. I'm wondering about that. I have to see what they say. Let's begin Sif Vav. Bachrim aholchim lomar chutz l'vesam. So here we're going to talk about where you light, who has to light. Fundamentally, the chiyuv of hadlaka is on everybody. There is a question if the chiyuv is a chovas habayis or chovas ha-yachid. Is it that every house has to have Shabbos candles? Or no, every person has to light Shabbos candles. It's just that when your wife lights, she's motzi you, and she's motzi your kids, and she's motzi the guests. How does that work? Some folks want to say there are really two types of chiyuv, and there's also chovas yachid, also chovas habayis. It's a little bit of a confusing sugya, but let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says, and then we'll try to get to some of the practical cases of people who are eating out and yeshiva boys and the like. So the Mechaber Paskins Sivav Bachrim Haolchim Lomach Chutz Leveisam. You have some guys who are learning somewhere. Ner Shabbos Bechedrim Levarich Olav. They have to light since they're, even though their mother is lighting for them at home. They have to light where they are. They're not at home. They're now staying in the dorm. They have to light in the dorm. If a person is living at home, so his wife is lighting, so even if he's going to sleep on the sofa, right, it's not a problem. So fundamentally, a woman has a mind to emotzi her family. The first case in the Mechaber here is that the boys aren't living at home. If they're not living at home, they're living in a different place, then they are not included in the mother's hadlaka. Presumably, the Shraga boys don't light.
Yeah.
Why don't they light? So, usually there's a family staying for Shabbos, and the Rebbetzin lights in the Cheder Ochel, and she's motzi the entire yeshiva with that hadlaka. If there's no Rebbetzin, so then the Madrich should light. Somebody should light in the Cheder Ochel. Let's say the boys are invited out, the Kolo family. They're not going to eat in the Cheder Ochel. So they live in the dorm, sleep in the dorm, and they're eating at a Kolo family for Shabbos. So Lechora, they're somech al shulchano for that meal. So they're yotze through the hadlaka of the kola wife, the fashtas. But they have to make sure that they have in their dorm room some electricity. So here, there's always electricity in the hallways. Meaning, it's not like there are people who are machmir to light where they sleep, even if they're going to be eating somewhere else. But in the dorm, it's not really so shayach because it's dangerous. You don't want to have a situation. If you have a private home, you're a single guy and you have an apartment, and you're eating out. So some guys would light, even with a bracha, because they say, this is my home. I'm not eating here. But this is my home. I want a light. And they're going to go eat at a friend. And the friend's wife lights, married friend. Or even a single friend. He'll light it over there. But you light it in your home. But I don't know how many people are machmir on that. I think many people assume that if they're eating by a home and there's candles there, so in the home they're sleeping in, as long as there's light, you know, in the bathroom, in the hallway, they won't fall over their bed or their chair, that's sufficient. I think that's the minhag olam. I'm not exactly sure. You know, it's hard to know, because sometimes the minhag is because it's dangerous. You don't want it in the dorm that every boy's going to light. You're going to have a fire. But if you have your own place and you're responsible, you're going to light in a way that nobody's going to... So it makes sense to light. The thing is, if you light and you only come home after the light's already out, then it's l'chara bracha vatala. You have to light in such a way that you light long candles or that you stick around at a time where you'll actually appreciate the light. Now, it's hard to know what it means to appreciate the light, because in our day and age, we have electric lights. What are you appreciating? If you're eating, okay, so it's kashmak, you're eating or an air. That's like a kiyum of onig Shabbos. So it could be the etzem, like I said before, the fact that you lit is kovod Shabbos. That itself adds something. So if you sit there for a few minutes, some folks say, sit there. I never really understood what it means to sit there. You know, what are you doing? You know, to read the Oran there is a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch. You're allowed to read the Oran there, or Shemiyate, not Shemiyate. But like, so you don't have to read. Maybe you shouldn't read. But what exactly do you have to do? So it seems like if you sit there for a few minutes, even before, let's say, the candles are only going to last 2 hours, and you're going to be out for 3 hours for the meal. So you sit there for a few minutes. But like I said, I think many people don't light. I think many people who are invited out are somich on the balabais that they lit, and they assume that's sufficient for them as well. And I think that certainly the Yeshal Malismach in that as well.
Do they have to have
when
they light?
I think they do. They're going to prepare more food, another piece of chicken, a little more soup, and they're also lighting candles. And then there's a din of Sarfat's Pruta we're going to see a little later. I don't think people do that today. I think the assumption is that they're sharing all their food with you. They're also sharing a Pruta of the candle with you. So you don't have to like tell your wife, you know. I don't know, what would it be like if you go to a shul, you have no place, and you're invited out for, you know, if you don't know where you're going to eat.
Well,
you know, there are people who do this. Apparently it works. You know, you go to Meir Sharem without a meal, and you just you stick around after davening, and somebody invites you home. He doesn't spot. Okay, fine. Okay. Okay, it's kishmak. Okay, it could be really kishmak or really not kishmak, depending where you end up.
You have, no place to stay,
you have to know. Pardon?
You have no place to stay
at all. That's already a different measure. I'm talking about a person who has a place to stay, but he doesn't know where he's going to eat. So then he should like where he's staying, because he might have to come home. He doesn't know if he's going to have a place to, you know, maybe he'll have to eat a roll and a piece of salami. But he's hoping he'll be invited out. So then obviously they didn't have in mind when they were lighting, but it was like a more general, I think, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but we say that a couple should light when
a kafel. So what happens if you're eating in one place and sleeping in another place? So that's a machlokes. Some poskim say that you should light where you're eating because of the oneg Shabbos. And others say that, no. Oneg Shabbos is very nice, but your mother-in-law is lighting over there. You're just tosefes ori. You're not going to add so much. It's better to light when you're sleeping. I think it's a machlokes l'maisa. There are poskim who say it's better to light when you're sleeping. But like I said, you have to make sure the lights are going to stay on. I follow the psak that we try to light where we sleep. They're different. It's a very confusing sugya, and there isn't such clear hachra. It seems like everything has gishal and lismach, so it's not like it's a brachal vatala. If you want to light where you eat, so you're also yotze. Sometimes it's not practical to light you know, like I said, in a dorm, you're in a family simcha, they rent a yeshiva, nobody's going to light in the dorms. It's against the rules. So everybody's going to light by the charocha. And that's also good. If they'll let you light in the dorms, so some folks are going to tell you it's better. Provided that, you're actually going to benefit from the light. If you're not going to benefit from the light, then you're really up a creek. So I always tell my wife to have in mind the electric light. So even if the candles burn out, the electric lights are still much as Zavichon. Is it absolutely necessary? Can you theoretically say, listen, I'm staying in this dorm, there's light in the hallway, and I'm eating, and there are 50 other candles here. What do I need to light? Meeker than a woman could say that. And maybe single guys do say that, Lamaisa. But the women don't want to give up on the hadlaka. Women are very attached to the mitzvah of hadlaka zera, so women want to light. So that's wonderful. So let them light. Okay? So there's a lot of leeway here. And of course, Tamir Sechadim Isura, as I said before, you have to be very careful. You don't create a situation of sakana or even safek sakana. Okay. Let's continue in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the nefruta. You go to somebody for Shabbos. So you go to somebody for Shabbos, where are you staying? You're staying with them. They're not giving you an independent apartment. Once I went to somebody for Shabbos, I was a scholar in residence somewhere, these people were very wealthy, they had above their garage like an apartment. So that was like my apartment for Shabbos. So even though I was eating with them, so I decided maybe I should light there. But usually, you go to somebody's house for Shabbos, you're sleeping in their home. And even if they give you a room, they're going to come in to get something from the cabinet, or like it's not like your room, like with your lock, you know what I'm saying, the key. So Amela, you're patal to their home. So Amela, you don't need to light. And the whole idea of Mishrat Fruta, L'chora is talking about when you would eat your own food. But here, you're eating their food. So just like they give you a piece of chicken, they also give you a piece of the candles, and therefore you're Yosei with them. Meaning that it becomes like partially yours. Again, I don't know.
I stayed in like for my Shabbos shiva, because I stayed in a chasman. Like this person in a house, and he built like a little apartment downstairs for the chasman palace to stay.
Okay.
So the imamish don't come in.
Right. If they don't come in, so then it's like your apartment.
It's like our apartment.
So then there's a satellite there, but obviously you don't want to burn the place down. So you lit at
my in-laws.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. So that's it. There are 2 days about that. Some people would say that it's better to light where you are sleeping, because by your in-laws, your mother-in-law's lighting, so it doesn't add so much. And others say no, the Iker Oneg is the Iker's Oneg Shabbos light there, and usually safety concern it makes the Hachra in this case. Okay, the Seder. Questions, comments. Fine. Ches. Shnayim shlosha bali batim shochlim mokom echad. Yesh omim shekol echad echad mevarach al menorah shalo. Yesh megam gem bedavar. V'nochan lizor besofik brochas v'lo levarach ele echad. So the Svarim passing like this mechaber, that if a number of couples are eating in the same place, only one person has a bracha. Because what do you mean I'm lighting candles? It's just tosefes ora. I'm not adding very much. But the Ashkenazim are mekel. Aval anu einu agin kain. We Ashkenazim are mevarach on tosefes ora. So if a Sephardi is at a hotel, they really shouldn't say a bracha unless they're the first to light, because it's just tosefes ora. Ashkenazim are mekel, and we said tosefes ora also adds, and it's covered Shabbos, and therefore you can say a bracha. Says the Mechaber Siftes, Hamadlik v'zavis habayis v'ochlin v'chotzer. You light in one corner and you're eating outside the porch in the courtyard. If you're not going to see the candles, usually you see the candles anyway, but this is relevant for a person who, like I said, who's going to light and go eat somewhere else and only going to come home a few hours later. If you don't see the candles, it's brachal v'tala. The Eitza is either to have long candles or to stay there and try to be nana from the candles for a few minutes.
What about in the case where you're going to eat at someone else's house, you're going to be gone for a while, and like you're nervous about the sakana of having this open flame in your house with no
yeah,
fire?
Yeah, if you're nervous, then you can light where you're eating.
So like, you should go to like light at the person who you're staying with?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah, yeah. You have to get there earlier. My wife has to get there earlier,
yeah.
You know. And they have to also make sure that at home you have a light, electric light on, which anyway we do, so you shouldn't stumble on a Itzim Avanim. This issue comes up in Sukkos. Sukkos, many people don't want to light in the Sukkah. They're afraid, you know, of the fire. So you light it in the kitchen. So if you can see, like a home I grew up in, the Sukkah was on our porch, off the kitchen. So you can light in the kitchen and you see the candles from the Sukkah. Not a problem. But where I live now, my sukkah is two flights down, so my wife's going to light in the kitchen, and we sleep in the sukkah. So we sleep in the sukkah, we eat in the sukkah. Could she light upstairs in the kitchen? So there's a svara to say that since you prepare the food, even if you eat and sleep in the sukkah, but you don't move your kitchen into the sukkah. Your kitchen is still upstairs. So your pot is upstairs and the fridge is upstairs. So since you're going to be, you know, experiencing that. So again, here probably makes sense too that the wife, whoever's lighting, should turn the lights on, electric lights in the sukkah, l'shem kavod Shabbos, and then light on upstairs, you know, with to have in mind everything. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick it up in the next week.